Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is continuing coverage of the case against Lori Vallow Daybell from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Maybe it'll be the last time we hear that intro.
I doubt it.
I doubt it.
She's like a foot fungus. She just keeps coming back. You think she's gone, and then she just, oop, there she is again.
I know. She's trying to appeal all this stuff, and yeah.
Do you think she's going to get her law degree?
Yeah, I could see that happening.
I do too. Yeah. Who was the person who did that in prison? It was somebody.
There's a lot of people who've done that in prison.
It's just bizarre.
In like a recent case.
Yeah. Who was it? I'm going to look that up.
I don't remember. But yeah, there was a recent one with it. But her sentencing was Friday, the 25th of July, 2025. Her third sentencing now. This is for the attempted murder of Brandon Boudreau. And today we got to see Lori give another speech, and we'll play that for you here in just a moment. And also many a victim impact statements made as well. And we are going to go through some of them anyway, some of the more notable ones. Larry and Kay Woodcock, of course, a big part of all of this story. They gave their victim impact statements via Zoom, and this is what it looked like.
Please be seated.
Good morning. Be a little bit further up here. I'm off on my timing. I thought I had that cued right to where it was, but I did not. Here we go.
Barbarous. You are nothing. You are.
Boy, where have we heard some of that before, right?
Yeah.
You are nothing.
Reality.
This is someone in the courtroom. Here we go.
Barbarous. You are nothing. You're a murderer.
Okay.
You're a narcissist, psychopath, delusional murderer. I can't tell you the harm that you have caused to our family, but I will tell you this. I know where you're going to be. Till you die. You're going to be in an 8x6 cell. you're going to have a steel cot, going to have a 12 by 8 desk, and a stainless steel toilet. You will have 23 hours a day in there. I hope you spend the rest of your life, 23 hours a day, regretting your choices, because that's all it was, murderous. It was your choices. You made them. You and your your husband, if that's what you want to call him. For what? You murdered Charles. The best thing that was ever in your life. Or you're delusional, narcissistic way. I will never speak your name again, murderers. You will never get anything out of me again in your life.
That's kind of a given.
You are nothing. Yeah. You are nothing. You killed Tylee. Did you enjoy it? Look at me, Laurie. Did you enjoy it? Did you dance around the fire like you sent the videos to Chad of you dancing around in your room for him? Did you enjoy it? And then the most precious thing, a 7-year-old autistic, unbelievably God's present to Kay and I, to Todd. Look at Todd. Turn around and look at him, Laurie, because that's the last time you're ever going to hear my name out of your mouth. Look at Todd. Have you said you're sorry? You wrapped JJ's hands in tape. You wrapped his arms in tape. You covered his eyes. And you buried him at 8 inches of ground. Murderous!
Good for him.
May God have mercy on your soul. Because that's the only thing in life. And don't count on God where you're going.
Ooh.
You're nothing, murderous. I can't stand you. Always said, from out of some place you never saw came a sound you never heard. Well, I will not say that anymore. I want you to see and hear everything that's going to happen in your life. I want you to live it 23 hours a day. I despise you. You murder JJ. You murdered Tammy. I'll always believe you murdered Alex. You're a murderer, mistress, murderer. You're worthless. I can't believe 6.5 years of putting up with you. You are not worth it. The 4 murders that you're accused of are only ones that they can prove. Laura, you tried to kill me. I left your house in Hawaii. You tried to kill me going back home. But guess what? I beat you. I'm able to sit here and laugh at you and what you go to prison, there's others you tried to kill. God bless JJ. God bless Kylie. And most of all, God bless our family. Thank you, Your Honor, for allowing me to speak my final piece to her.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Woodcock.
Your Honor, Susan will be in, be up next.
Okay.
Good morning. I'm Susan, one of Charles's older sisters. I'm here to share the emotional impact of Charles's tragic senseless death for me. Charles and I had just started renewing our relationship with each other. One day in 2019 at Kay's house, Charles said to me, "Come see sis." So I went to see what he wanted. He said, "I'm going to give you a car." And I just about passed out. I told him, I said, "I love you, Charles." He said, "I love you too, sis." And we hugged. And these were the last words we ever spoke to each other. Needless to say.
Well, something cut there.
Oh, boy.
But that was, there really wasn't a lot more of her that was on there. But that was Susan there and then Larry Woodcock as well. Let's go over to Brandon Boudreau. This is obviously the man that she attempted to murder. This is his account and what she put him through.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'm going to read my sister wrote a letter. She couldn't be here. I'm going to read her letter. And I'll.
That's for Donnell?
Yeah, for Danielle.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hello, my name is Danielle Hackey. I'm the oldest sister to Brandon Boudreau. 6 years ago, our world was rocked in ways none of us could have predicted. I'm not unfamiliar with the criminal justice system. I worked within it for over 10 years. But it had never touched my life personally until it did 6 years ago. I watched as my brother Brandon had his entire life ripped apart with absolutely no warning. I watched him try to pick up the pieces of a life and family he had built and to try to bandage the broken hearts of his children with oh so many questions while also navigating his own personal sorrow and heartbreak. I held him and cried with him and offered what little advice I could with all the love my big sister heart could give him. Then just a few months later, while I was 7 months pregnant with my third child and returning home from a doctor visit, I had my husband sit me down on the couch and ever so gently let me know that my brother had just been shot at. You see, my dad hadn't called me. He called my husband to tell him so that he could carefully and gently tell me what had happened. My world as I knew it was shattered. All of a sudden, I was living in a paranoid, anxiety-filled, fear-driven nightmare. As details emerged and my brother gained more information and knowledge, he reached out to see if he could bring his children to hide at our home for a while. There was no hesitation. We took them all in. But those few weeks were filled with terror. We stayed indoors with the blinds shut and the door securely locked. We did our best to entertain six children, ours and his, and keep them happy and as unaware of the situation as possible, while also monitoring our streets for any signs of those responsible for this. I no longer felt safe in my home. Leaving meant constantly checking behind and around me, making sure no one was following or watching us. We were on alert 24/7. Our entire family helped shuffle my incredible brother and his kids around, doing our best to ensure that they felt safe and were being loved and taken care of. This went on for months. Once those responsible were caught, we felt some relief However, more details continued to merge, and my brother's life continued to get thrown for loops. Our family has come out of this closer, stronger, and more unified. We have held our tongues, never having spoken our truths, so as to allow the judicial system to do what it is designed to do, bring some justice to all of the victims. The big sister and me wanted nothing more than to take care of my little brother and his sweet children. I wanted nothing more than to fix everything and make it right. I obviously couldn't do that. I watched as my brother experienced the most horrible things and do so with grace, love, and humbleness that I don't know I would have had. I am grateful for the example he has been to me. I pray that our family can continue to heal and move on and hold strong to each other as we try to close this chapter. So many lives were impacted by such selfish choices. I am forever grateful that my brother was spared that day. And I know that for me, I will never be able to go back to being blissfully unaware of the horrific choices people can make for the most unimportant and selfish reasons. Thank you for your time, Danielle Hackey. Your Honor, thank you for giving me my time today and for listening to all these people who are my family now and who have gone through this with me. On October 2nd, Lori Daybell, someone I considered family, conspired with others to shoot at me, an act that not only endangered my life, but it threatened to destroy the sacred family unit that I cherish for my children. Had this heinous crime succeeded, my children would have been left to face a lifetime of grief, robbed of the love, stability, and spiritual guidance I provide as their father. The betrayal by someone connected to my family has left me battling overwhelming emotions over the years. I felt fear, paranoia. I lived with constant vigilance, loneliness, regret, sadness, depression, anger, heartache, and embarrassment. All whilst I striving to remain a beacon for my children, I didn't want them to see. The word family in Latin was used as a word for servant, familia. How beautiful to think of those who are family as those who we serve or who serve us freely without the thought of reward. I try to live this truth every day, serving my children with selfless dedication, nurturing their dreams, teaching them resilience, and providing a foundation of love. Lori Daybell's actions sought to tear me from the sacred role, leaving my children without the father who serves them with unwavering devotion. Trust is something that isn't tangible. It can almost, it can almost be measured in interactions with others by the speed and comfort with which we speak. We can see this inside our families. When it's present, it creates beautiful safe spaces where human beings can grow and feel loved. As a father, I strive to cultivate this trust, fostering a haven where my children feel secure to grow and express themselves. Had I been killed, this trust would have been shattered, leaving my children vulnerable to fear, uncertainty, and struggling to rebuild the safety that they deserve. I believe the family unit is ordained of God, and as such, it can be the most safe and sacred space we have in this life. I was raised in such a unit by parents who created this for me. And my life's greatest desire is that one day my children will look back and say that I created that for them. This divine calling gives me a drive to provide a nurturing and sacred environment for my children, mirroring the love I received. the choices that were made on October 2nd by Lori and others attempted to end my life. They threatened to rob my children of this God-ordained sanctuary, denying them the legacy and safety of love I strive to build. Research underscores the devastating impact of losing a father in early childhood. 20 to 30% of bereaved children develop clinical depression or anxiety, grappling with abandonment. It can hinder their ability to form healthy relationships. My children would have faced these scars and many more. Their sense of security would have been destroyed. The violent act orchestrated by Lori would have taken this. Additionally, children who lose a parent experience academic setbacks, social withdrawal. Studies show that such children face socioeconomic challenges as adults, threatening the stable future I work tirelessly to provide. Besides my children, I have extended family for whom this conspiracy's toll I will never truly know. There's no measurement system for our grief, for our stress, for their pain and their trauma. They carry a burden that was no responsibility of their own. They're good people, all of them. But they showed up. They understood what family meant. They postponed work. They postponed life. They postponed fun. They even put out their own children and their own spouses. I had to ask them and their families to keep me safe and put them in jeopardy. I was scared to stay with them for months after they shot at me and kept trying to find me. I was continually pursued when I asked my new wife to marry me. I had to do so knowing the burden I brought to our marriage. A life filled with unwanted attention, trauma, from a conspiracy I knew nothing about until it was almost too late. This burden will never go away, but we will learn to deal with it. We can never go back. We can't fix these things. There's no way to make right all the injustice and suffering that we've endured. So my greatest hope is that we can protect others from facing it. I hope those who participated can be removed from a place where they can have a chance to hurt anyone ever again in the future. No one deserves to live a life of fear and trauma. I have friends who stood up and put their lives on hold to help me and my children. I don't know how to convey to you the fear they must have felt to just be involved with me or around me. As others conspired and continued to come looking for me, I can't imagine the impact it had on them after the fact or during, and some of them had to distance themselves to keep their family safe. Finally, this overwhelming toll and conspiracy has had so much effect on those who are called upon to uphold our laws and to those that I employed to try to protect my family. I would include attorneys, law enforcement, juries, yourself, your staff, all the people who have to deal with this. We've spent countless hours and precious resources from our communities, taxes, mine and my family's personal finances, striving to prove exactly what happened, and most importantly, to keep children safe. All this could have gone to more productive and beneficial things to help others, but it had to be diverted because of selfishness and self-centered conspirations. Your Honor, I'm a believer in forgiveness.
And I believe it can be relieving for people to let go of the feelings that I've been describing, to give them a way to their savior, so that there's more room for good feelings and things that can come in this life. I try to practice this. I'm not perfect at it, but I have found relief in it. But I do not believe that this means that we can trust those who commit crimes to continue to have freedom that they had before. I choose to forgive Lori for myself so that I can be able to be a better father to those children I described. Be a better husband for my new wife. A better son and brother to these wonderful people who came. And a better neighbor and friend to those people who were there for me when I needed it most. But I have never seen any remorse or acknowledgement from Lori or any of her conspirators. Only denial, shaming, and accusation. I would never feel safe if she has freedom. I will always fear her for what she would try to do again to hurt my family. The trauma of this attack has already shaken my children's sense of safety. It's forced me to fight through pain, and it's forced me to work to restore trust for them in this life that we live. Lori's conspiracy was an assault on the essence of familia or selfless love. It's an assault on trust, and it's an assault on the divine sanctity of what a family is and what I grew up in. I would urge you to recognize this harm, this act that was intended to inflict pain upon myself, my family, my children, who deserve to grow up in a sacred, safe space. And I would ask you to protect us as I let go of those angry feelings and all of those things. I would ask you to protect us, keep us safe, keep these people who deserve it safe. And I just ask that and thank you.
Thank you.
That was
a short recess of about 10 minutes. You may wish to remain in the
Brandon Boudreau, reading not only his sister's victim impact statement about what life was like for that portion of the family, how it affected, just really showing how the trickle down effect, the wave of destruction that Lori Vallow just so blindfully emitted at so many people.
I'm going to ask a question here, and I apologize if it's a bit dense. I don't mean for it to be, but do we know, was it Lori or Chad that decided the kids needed to die? I mean, do we know specifically who wanted them dead? I mean, was it a joint effort? Was it one person saying it should have been?
As far as we know, we don't know.
Okay. I'm starting to get some of our cases confused. We got Karen Reed. Yeah. We've got Koberger.
I think it was very much a fairly probably a joint decision, where I'm going to guess it was maybe my take on it would be Chad maybe making the suggestion that the kids are evil and mm-hmm. wanting Lori all to himself, that then basically he knew how to plant things in her mind and make her believe it. And I'm going to guess it was something like that. And then it was just kind of, oh yeah. What else are we going to do? It's not even a decision. It's a necessity. It's there. It's in front of them. And they see the kids as, well, they just got to go, because they're convinced that that's what needs to be done. It'd be like looking at your fridge and going, oh, the power's off. We got to get this thing plugged in or it's all going to melt. And anyone in the room could see that. I think that's how they looked at the kids. So that's sort of a collective insanity.
God.
And was it one that wanted, that was there manipulation on one side? Was Chad trying to get rid of the kids for selfish means? Or did they both? I believe did they both believe that the kids were evil and that they had to go, and everybody else they killed, it was all justified? I think Lori believes all this was justified. Mm-hmm. I don't know about Chad.
Yeah, and that's the reason I bring it up is it just that for me, that's the nagging question. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of questions, but for me, I want to know the evolution of this plan.
Well,
and we know how it went, but I want to know how does this begin? Are you sitting at a pizza place and the pizza gets delivered and you're like, you know, hey, I think we should fucking kill the kids. I mean, how does something like a plan like this just evolve? How do you, you know, is it the kid interrupts your date and you're like, oh God, we'd be better off without them. Or is it just you wake up and they have this divine intervention that they, you know, think that the angels are speaking to them. And
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know.
That's my interest level of Lori Daybell there.
I know. I saw you yawn. I'm like, yawning. Am I boring you, honey?
No, I'm. It's the end of the week, and I am exhausted. And
yes.
It's yeah. But well, I know.
Wait. Let me throw something in here, and this is personal, and I just need to do this. Work with me here. So every time you talk to me, you yawn. I'm starting to take it personally. Sorry.
I don't get it.
You don't. Somebody might that's watching.
Oh, okay.
Somebody might. It's okay. It's an inside joke, but okay. I just saw you yawn and I went, oh.
Okay.
I had to throw that in. It has nothing to do with anything, but I just the Daybell thing, I personally kind of, I want some answers. I feel like everybody has deserved some answers.
Well, luckily, do you believe this? Lori spoke today. She's going to explain everything. So let's see. Let's see what Lori has to say. This should clear it all up. We can all go home and go, oh, well, that makes sense.
Representing myself at these two trials was a constitutional right that I exercised. I could not have done so without my team. Ana Elena Ramirez, my paralegal, Jeff White, my investigator, and Pamela Hicks and Robert Abernathy, my advisory counsel. I acknowledge their diligence and hard work in helping me exercise that right.
The Hardy Boys.
They worked tirelessly, yes. And I appreciate them.
Nancy Drew.
If it weren't for those damn
myself,
kids.
I have learned much about the law have gotten away with process, it. And I'm grateful for the knowledge that I have gained. Knowledge is eternal, and it is only love and the knowledge that we acquire in this life that we take with us into the next. I have studied the rules of law, case law, and the like. I was amazed and enlightened as my understandings were completely changed from before I started this process. Before this long court journey, I only had basic understanding of the judicial process. I was of the understanding that both parties would be able to get up at a trial and each tell their side of the story, but I soon learned that the rules of law do not allow that.
Actually, they do.
The process is much more complex than that. It is not designed for that. Although the Constitution of the United States was designed for that, the rules of law negate most of that. As a defendant, I was precluded from calling several witnesses. Other witnesses for the defense were precluded from testifying things that they did witness. As a defendant, I was precluded from asking law enforcement specific questions. I was also precluded from admitting documents that the state turned over to the defense as discovery. The founding fathers of this country did not intend for the rules and laws of trial that have been implemented into this justice system to make it impossible for the accused to defend themselves. Their objective was quite the opposite. They advocated for a fair and impartial and speedy trial. It was never their intention for people to be sitting in jail for years and years waiting to be tried while the state continues to try to gather new evidence against them. This is what our unjust system has become.
Oh, see that what
men
you did with that word?
Sitting in jail yep. for years Ooh. And waiting to be heard.
She's tricky.
The constitutional right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Life! Thwarted. Whoa! Whoa!
My case is not unique. There are many Actually, here in Maricopa County that have been in jail almost 10 years waiting to be tried. The conditions of this jail are not for long-term confinement.
Oh,
you do not
shut
have
up.
Access to direct medical care. You do not have access to proper nutrition. You do not have access to sunlight. You do not have access to decent dental care.
It's a jail.
Tony, when can you stop her for just a second before I have a convulsion over here? How dare she talk about any of this when she snuffed the life out of several people?
Well, you got to make sure she's comfortable. You want some good dental care in prison and...
And don't kill anybody, bitch. Oh, my God.
Continuing on.
Or an offer you a vitamin D supplement because you have not been in the sun in a year. Imagine this for years. It is inhumane. The state of Arizona, according to the laws, since I am a prisoner from another state, only had 90 days in which to give me two speedy trials.
That's you 3 poor months. Little baby.
I arrived here at MCSO on November 30th, 2023. That is over a year and a half, 20 months specifically. That is over 6 times the amount of time it should have taken for me to have these two trials. But Arizona leaves this law up to the judge's discretion, and the judge has the power to extend your trial at his will. Even though the 6th and 14th Amendment of the Constitution of the United States proclaims otherwise. 98% of all cases in Maricopa County end in plea deals where the accused plead guilty. And I'll tell you why. It's so miserable in that jail that they plead guilty so they can go to the prison and have decent food, decent sunlight, and a chance to live. 2% of all cases in Maricopa County that actually do go to trial, of all the cases that actually do go to trial, only 0.2 end in acquittal. That is 1 out of 1,200 people who go to trial go home.
That's actually not the correct stat.
Is that a system designed to convict you? The rules of law governing trial assure that. As you witnessed in my two cases, the judge supports the state to achieve this outcome. So here we are. The state of Arizona has accomplished its intention. 1, to extradite me from Idaho. 2, to convict me. And 3, to add to my ledger of lifetimes. The state used countless taxpayers' money to transport me, house me, millions of dollars to wrongly convict me, on 2 charges that they made sure judicially that I could not defend myself against. I know political aspirations, raises, and job promotions were at stake. So congratulations. I was convicted in the media long before I went to trial. We all know that there was no way for me to come to Arizona and get a fair, impartial, or speedy trial. And now that fact has been proven. The state of Arizona brought me here when I was already serving 5 life sentences. Now I will serve 7 life sentences. Will that be enough? Will that be enough? I want everyone to know that I mourn with all of you. I am sorry for your pain. Losing those close to you is painful, and I acknowledge all of the pain, and I do empathize. I feel it too. If I was accountable for these crimes, I would acknowledge it, and I would let you know how sorry I was. But I have witnessed for myself what it is like to leave this mortal existence and return home. Oh, God. When I temporarily died in the hospital giving birth to my daughter, Tylee.
Shut up.
When our spirit leaves shut our up. Body and we return to the pure energy state.
She's
in the
explaining
world,
it all. We're
we
now
immediately no longer feel hate, anger, envy, or resentment. I promise you. We come to Earth to experience these emotions, but these emotions are immediately replaced by a blissful, heightened sense of peace, love, joy, and well-being. The moment our spirit leaves our body, we feel more alive than we ever did on Earth. And we have deep empathy for those we have left behind. We do not want our loved ones to grieve or be sad. We know that they will because that's a mortal experience, but they come to comfort us. We immediately know The minute you leave your body, you are aware of who you are, why you came to Earth, and that we will all be together again soon, and that this separation is only temporary. All of the cares and pressures and problems immediately melt away. And after comforting our loved ones, we move on with our eternal life, continuing to pursue knowledge and wisdom and understanding in eternal progression. Heaven is a very busy and happy place where everyone is engaged in projects that they love to do. That includes Joshua, that includes Tylee, that includes Tammy, that includes Charles. No one there, none of these people are seeking revenge or justice. So although we miss our loved ones, and I do too, I assure you that they are busy and happy and peaceful.
Well, as long as she says that, then it's all.
It's like summer camp.
They feel now. And I try to duplicate that here. So whether I'm giving 5 life sentences or 7 life sentences, I will continue to try to uplift and help and strengthen those around me. It does not matter where you serve on earth as long as you do it with love. It doesn't matter if I'm given 7 lifetimes or the death penalty like my husband. What things look impossible to man are easy for Jesus.
Jesus
tells us in the Bible not to judge, but this whole entire justice system is just that. So I want you to watch, because God will show the world great miracles. I will continue to love everyone I come in contact with, and I will turn this battle over to God. Okay. If this is God's battle, then the math doesn't matter. 7 lifetimes or the death penalty doesn't matter.
God's miracles
will abound. When a soldier goes off to war, he is a soldier. When a soldier comes back from war, he is a warrior. And Jesus is in the prisons. He is turning his soldiers into warriors. For the prisoners shall go free. Sometimes victory doesn't look like victory until it's finished. Prisoners who have been told that they will never go free will be free. And I want you to expect miracles, and I want you to watch for them, because you will see. We fear not what man can do, because God's warriors surround us. When the battle is relentless, and this one has been for over 6 years, remember, God is building his army of warriors in the prison system. He is turning Sauls into Pauls. When Jesus is sending his servants into the prisons to prepare his warrior team, we will be there only until this purpose is complete, and then the warriors will walk free. We are redeemed by Jesus Christ, so we are free right now. But his chains will break. Prison walls will fall. The power and majesty of God will be revealed. When Jesus is ready, he will call his warriors from the prisons, and we will walk free, and we will serve him. I will quote Moroni, the great prophet, from Moroni 8:16, and he says, "Behold, I speak with boldness, having authority from God. I fear not what man can do, for perfect love casteth out all fear." And in Ether, Moroni says, "And now, if I have no authority for these things, judge ye. For ye shall know that I have authority when ye shall see me, and we shall stand before God at the last day."
Well, if that's what she says, then okay. That makes it, then there we go. Everything's explained. We're all good. And the world makes sense.
Well, you could hear me just writhing over here. Like, the delusional. To hear her bitching and complaining about what she's not getting in prison, kiss my ass, bitch.
I don't like that she goes towards the end. And I mean, the judge does do a speech as well. But I almost feel like you have her go first, because she gets to like counter everybody. after they've already said their piece. I think she should go first, and then they can riff on all the bullshit that she spews out in their statements. I think it would make more sense to do it that way. Because otherwise she gets like the last word, and I don't like that. I mean, for whatever it's worth. I mean, that was just crazy.
We know she's not mentally sound. We know this. We know, you know, this shouldn't be a surprise. And the fact that I was reacting so vehemently about everything she was saying, you're bitching about your life in prison. And there are others who don't have their lives because of you.
But she doesn't see it that way.
No, she doesn't. That they're happy in heaven. Like I said, it's like summer camp.
They're back. It's summer camp. They're working at the Walgreens.
And they've got their projects.
Yeah, they're working on, you know, one of them's making a Victory Garden this summer. Yeah. They're doing it with the guy who hosted Victory Garden on PBS in 1984. It's quite a scene. It's just lovely. You got to be there.
This is a lot. Yeah. These victims are not getting the closure they need when they allow that mouth to speak, because she's just so fucking delusional.
Let's do a dunk take with handguns.
There you go.
I like that. You don't aim for the side that dumps them over, though. You just aim at her and then it.
Yeah. At this point, we don't live in a society like that, but I could vote for that.
We're getting close.
We are getting close.
Baby steps.
We're going to start stoning people at some point.
Baby steps.
Right?
That's that. Let us know what your thoughts are on Miss Daybell.
Done with her?
I hope to God we are. She's going to keep trying to file motions. It's going to go nowhere. I think we're done with her. Anyway, let us know your final thoughts on Lori in the comment section on YouTube. If you're not already there, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi on YouTube or vice versa on the podcast platform so you can get us wherever you may be listening or watching. All right. Until next time, for Stacey, I'm Tony. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody. Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything.
Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.